You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In recent months, there has been a growing exodus of artists and bands moving away from Spotify. These decisions are being made along political and ethical lines as the platform continues to come under fire for a range of business practices and investments. In the streaming era, however, artists cannot make this decision lightly. Musicians often depend on streaming services like Spotify for a consistent source of income or visibility. I spoke to the University of Otago's Michael Holland about why these artists are leaving Spotify and what it means for artists to leave streaming services. For starters, why are we seeing artists leaving Spotify?
It's an interesting question at this moment because I think there's more than just the ethics question at play. So, yes, obviously, the news that, you know, Daniel Ek's investment firm of $1 billion in an AI weapons company has been sort of the straw that broke the camel's back for a lot of artists. And it's, you know, brought out some sort of ongoing frustration or sort of exacerbated some ongoing frustration about their involvement with the platform anyway. So firstly, I think it's interesting to note, you know, musicians taking a strong ethical stand. There were New Zealand artists who took a similar stand over things like performing at the South by Southwest Music Festival a few years ago due to similar issues around that organisation's funding, again involved in weapons manufacture. So it's really interesting to see that sort of ethics thing at play. But I think the other two things that are going on here have to do with the revenue that artists are able to generate or not able to generate through music streaming, and also sort of some ongoing concerns around the sort of, I guess, the dilution of the sort of, yeah, it's what an Australian academic calls the blandification of the music experience on streaming platforms, which has to do with things like stock music and sort of AI music taking an increasing share of listenership on the platform.
Spotify has long kind of seen criticism over their revenue sharing practices and various other business practices when it comes to interacting with artists. You referred to this Daniel Ek's investment as the straw that broke the camel's back, but is this something that we've been seeing bubbling for a while?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Going back as early as, you know, 2014, you had very high profile artists like Taylor Swift pulling her music from the platform. And it's sort of, it's interesting to think about, you know, as other scholars have pointed out, when we talk about revenue from streaming, we generally talk about it in how much does a musician earn per stream. And, you know, the sort of the back of the envelope figures at the moment, it's very hard to work this out, the difference. Well, Spotify seems to be paying about half of 1 cent per stream. And very smart people have pointed out, well, what exactly is one stream and what does that mean? And also, in what ways is that revenue allocated? Because to say that this is a question of how much Spotify pays an artist per stream sort of ignores the fact that that's not actually how they distribute revenue. So unless you're at a sort of 1,000 monthly listeners or above, as of last year, Spotify's not paying you anything. And then they're paying royalty revenue based on market share, so it's sort of a pro rata system. And in fact, David Hesmanhall, music industry scholar, has pointed out that the revenue that independent artists in particular are able to generate would improve a lot if Spotify did, in fact, pay artists per stream, which, I mean, they could do. The revenue distribution is, on the one hand, transparent, but also it's not geared in the favour of independent artists. Spotify, you know, celebrated last year that they had distributed $10 billion US in royalties, but less than 5% of musicians were generating over sort of about $130,000 a year. So, yeah, they are bringing in income from subscription and generating those royalties, distributing them back to artists. But for lots of independent artists, I think there's some very good reasons why they might look at this and say, deck stacked against me here. I'm actually not sure that there's much of a path to certainly for a lot of independent artists, I don't think streaming revenues can be their sole source of income in music.
And a lot of these artists that we've seen pull off the platform have also highlighted Spotify's use of AI on the platform. How are these AI algorithms and also AI artists kind of influencing this bad environment for artists?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky question. One of the things that is worth mentioning here is Liz Pally's work on Spotify's Perfect Fit content program. So a lot of what you encounter when you stream that Cafe Jazz playlist is not, in fact, the work of jazz musicians trying to build a career and a sort of artist identity. It is, in fact, the work of artists paid to create stock music. Currently in Australia at the moment, looking at the way that the AI algorithms that are determining playlists, and especially personalised playlists, that they start to contribute to this experience of kind of blandification of everything sort of starting to sound the same and sort of pushing music into the background. And I think, I work with young music producers who are very passionate about their work. And, you know, we idealise our engagement with music, whether it's as audiences or as people who create it. We think of it as like, yeah, I'm passionate about music, and I pay attention to it, you know, I really engage with music in a certain way. But actually, increasingly, streaming is contributing to music as sort of background noise. So I can see a number of artists being quite unhappy about that.
With that said, these moves off of the platform from artists, what does this actually mean for their livelihoods and their possibilities of success?
Again, it varies. So to talk about a Kiwi example that's sort of unfolding at the moment, you know, Tiki Tane is publicly removing his work from Spotify. And for someone like him, that will have implications for, appreciable implications for the revenue he's generating. You know, I think he's got 150,000 monthly listeners. So that means that he will be, you know, losing an appreciable amount of money. Whereas for other artists, for independent artists, it may not be a question of taking a huge hit in terms of income because it is so hard to generate significant revenue on streaming services. The issue is, though, that things like having your work in prominent playlists, things like your streaming metrics, are all sort of barometers that are used by various other parties in the music industry. For example, you know, lots of our young musicians here apply for New Zealand music funding to make their first recording. And one of the criteria for that funding is, you know, how many streams do you have, or do you have X number of streams for your work? Certainly, you know, like music festivals, promoters, people like that will look to this as one of many kind of metrics that they might use to assess an artist's sort of popularity and viability and all those things. But I would sort of suggest that what this might mean long-term for especially indie musicians is a good look at what it means to have audience engagement. And so, yes, having a lot of people streaming your work could mean that you have a really engaged audience, but actually, perhaps this is a call to think about, you know, the quality of that engagement. Exactly how many of those people who are streaming your work in the background are those audience members who are going to do all those things that are going to help you to have a meaningful, sustainable relationship with your fan base.
That was the University of Otago's Michael Holland about why artists are leaving Spotify and what that means for artists.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.